Hi, welcome to Alaska Radio Reader Rambler, your monthly potpourri of literary snacks for the mind and interviews. I'm Sandy Harper here with my co-host, Dick Reichman, and a very special guest indeed, Jane Wigner. Welcome, Jane.
Hi, Sandy. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Now, Jane is a very well-known director and dramaturg and is a guest artist at the Valdez Theater Festival every year. But I think people know what a director is and maybe what a guest artist is, but they might not know what a dramaturg is. So maybe you could tell us, just what is a dramaturg, Jane?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm very happy to answer that. Dramaturg, what a word, right? We could talk about dramaturgy a lot. It's a word that has such a funny sound that it begins by making people laugh. And dramaturgs, we actually refer to ourselves as turgs, which makes it even worse. But I can say that the concept of dramaturgy has changed a lot over the years. And right now, many people are getting their MFAs in dramaturgy and studying the art and craft of dramaturgy. Dramaturgy is often misspelled in our country, and it has an E added onto it mistakenly. In French, dramaturg with an E means playwright.
Oh.
And here in our country, we do not spell it properly with an E. It's dramaturg. I belong to an organization called Literary Managers and Dramaturgs of the America. And one of our missions is to get the word out about what dramaturgy is. And because we're having a resurgence of new American plays in our country, and you, Sandy, are someone who is at the forefront of that and behind that, there are several other theaters throughout Alaska that are doing a wonderful job to support and lift up new American playwrights. Dramaturgs are a very large part of that. They feel that new playwrights are a vital art form, and their job is to nourish, educate, and transform theater in America by supporting the playwright. There are several different types of dramaturgy. There is new play dramaturgy, research dramaturgy, and production dramaturgy.
And you're a triple threat, right?
I'm kind of a triple threat. I've been in the business of being a dramaturg for almost 25 years now, and that's because new plays are at the heart of what I do. Sometimes dramaturgs completely focus on one of these aspects, a new play, research, or production dramaturgy. Would you like me to break those down and talk about those at all?
Sure, it would be very interesting. And you know, Dick is a playwright as well. He'd be interested too.
So jump in if you have any questions.
I'm curious because I've never worked with a dramaturg or known one aside from you, so I want to know what this is all about.
Well, you can always go to a website, anyone out there who's interested in, I'm going to just do some snapshots of what it is, but www.lmda.org is a website where you can find all kinds of information and research it. If you're a dramaturg out there, a person interested in working with new playwrights, certainly look at that website, search that website, and see how you can get involved. Or a playwright, you can use that as a resource. We're all listed with our bios and information and what we've been doing historically over the last few years. So you could reach out and find a dramaturg to work with you. In my case, and we can touch on this later, I've worked with several Alaskan playwrights long distance. So your dramaturg doesn't have to be in front of you, particularly now with internet and connectivity and Skyping. But let me just talk a little bit and briefly about the distinctions. New play dramaturgy is reading and evaluating new scripts, often commissioning new work if you're working for a regional theater, organizing in-house readings, taking that as one of your responsibilities, and overall helping bring new plays to full production. So that is just a thumbnail sketch of new play dramaturgy. Research dramaturgy is also finding new scripts, going out and researching who's writing them, what might work if you're working for a theater, if you're employed by a regional theater, and helping develop a theater's mission, helping plan their season. And then production dramaturg, they would keep track of every version of the script. We can look at the play I'm directing right now. I'm here directing Winter Bear at Cyrano's. We have gone through, maybe 3 or 4 versions of the script in the last week. Little changes here and there.
Because you don't find out a lot of things, you see it on its feet.
Exactly.
And what plays.
So the production dramaturg helps the production by organizing those versions and keeping track of each draft. They also would find songs of the era or pictures of the era, video or certain stories of the era that the playwright might be writing about. And they help explain the world of the play to the actors. They would do post-play discussions. They would lead those, helping bring in the audience to the world of the play. They would often help in production with casting. And they would work with the designers as well in informing the world of the play, helping translate the playwright's big picture. The most important thing that a dramaturg comes with and to the theater with is a love of the work. And they educate and they prepare study guides on the work and they do outreach to different educational resources around the area that the play is going to be in. Should we do a talk at the Boys and Girls Club? Mm-hmm. Many different things like that. Schools and organizations. So education, preparation with the playwright, and as I'm saying, more than anything, recognizing playwrights and playwriting as a vital art form that we need to keep at the forefront.
Right, and as you pointed out, it is a recent phenomenon that there's this major renaissance of new plays.
Absolutely.
And therefore new playwrights.
Absolutely. Historically, maybe 70 years ago, a dramaturg's main job would be if you were working on a Shakespearean play or if you were working on a Greek play, the dramaturg would still be on board employed more as a historian. So they would say, well, they certainly didn't wear those kinds of thongs.
So it was kind of a context thing.
Much more context, yeah. And research. Where now it just encompasses all these things I'm talking about. It's a very broad term, but it always goes back to the playwright.
Well, you know, last year we had a major grant which allowed us to commission 5 plays. And one of them was Alicia Jones, and you became her dramaturg. And now she says she would never write a play without you.
And hopefully she will be happy working with the idea of dramaturgy. And when I am at as a guest artist at the Last Frontier Theater Conference, I try to run workshops and classes on what dramaturgy is. There's a very scary side of dramaturgy for playwrights. It can mean the person who comes in and wrecks your play on top of all these other wonderful things. So it doesn't mean that, of course, for dramaturgs, but there is a great fear that a dramaturg says, I don't like this, you must do this, where that's indeed not what a dramaturg would do. Working one-on-one with the playwright, the dramaturg, and let's take the play and Arlisha Jones' play here at Cyrano's last year as an example. Arlisha Jones' play was about Lena Mora Lewis. The title was Make Good the Fires. Oh, Lena was born in 1862, and she was active in the women's suffragette movement. She also had a deep involvement in the Alaska Labor Union and was an early socialist and advocate of labor-based radical politics, basically. So Arlisha and I worked together on the play, and as we worked long distance from the San Francisco Bay Area, where I live, and Anchorage, Alaska, where Arlisha lives, my job would be to say to Arlisha, what were you thinking of when you wrote this scene? Or would you think that perhaps this scene might be better if it came earlier in the play? And to it's really to ask questions and stimulate the playwright who works in his or her head alone to ask these questions and form this rather intimate partnership of trust early on before the play gets even into a reading stage. So it really is more of a partner, of a person who you share a deep involvement in the play.
Well, the
part
old days,
editor, part handhold.
We had a term called play doctor in the old days. Is the dramaturg the new play doctor?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The dramaturg is the new play doctor. But under the confines of not being the new play writer.
Uh-huh. Well, the play doctor was always a suspect, too.
We're always going to be suspect. That's going to be, as is the director.
But
Absolutely.
This is a very good point, because in a particular case of the play you're doing now, you not only were the dramaturg, but you are the director. And, of course, you have a more than intimate knowledge of the evolution of the work. So,
For me, I love having the dual roles.
Mm-hmm.
Because my entire history in the theater, certainly the most part of it, has been working in the development, the development of the play all the way through to the direction. So I love being the director and the dramaturg, although I certainly have history, and more in the last 5 years, where I'm working just as the dramaturg, especially long distance,
mm-hmm.
like this.
Yeah, it's amazing, because I know in the case of Winter Bear, the auditions were actually by Skype, which was amazing.
Yes, it was amazing, a Skype audition. And actually, even though it was challenging, I cast this play, of course, with the help of Sandy and some other people at Cyrano's. I auditioned. One of our characters was up in Denali doing a play. That actor auditioned by Skype just between the two of us. Then we had 2 days of auditions and callbacks at Cyrano's. And another one of our actors auditioned from Los Angeles with me. And really, think of the economics, how well that worked out.
Yeah, Skype is free.
Skype is free. And I love to travel, and I love to work all over the country. But for many theaters, I think in today's economy, and with any kind of theater throughout history, flying out your director or your dramaturg as a regular thing to cast is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So this new technology that I sometimes berate has also allowed me to come and work with you and save us the money of flying me back and forth.
And also, a directorial's role is weaving together all the different components and the designers and so on for the production. And maybe you could talk a little bit about how that worked for this particular play.
In this play, we had Sheila Wine, mm-hmm. of Anchorage, actually originally of Illinois, so I'm from the Midwest too originally, so we share that a little bit. Sandy, you had mentioned Sheila's name to me.
Mm-hmm.
Another old friend and Alaskan, Boston Christopher, mm-hmm. mentioned Sheila's name to me. And I started, back to technology, Googling Sheila and taking a look at her work and her website. I saw in Sheila Wine's work something that was very resonant for me in the way that I was seeing the play that I'm here working on now, Winter Bear by Anne Hanley. I knew that we were blending a very naturalistic play with some non-naturalistic elements. And when I looked at Sheila Wine's work, I you have those intuitions, I knew she was going to be the right person. So we got in touch with Sheila, and Sheila is our set designer. And Sheila is now in Grand Rapids, Michigan, at a very large event called Art Prize, which is the largest international prize for installation artists in the country. So Sheila and I have continued to go back and forth on the telephone and with our own Skype meetings in the development of the set. Now, our costume designer is living here in Alaska. Her name is Layla Williams. You can probably even talk about this award that Layla
has. She's getting the Governor's Award very shortly, and we're very proud of her. She's a wonderful, wonderful costume designer.
And it was you, Sandy, who said to me that I was going to love her, and you were absolutely right. Now, Layla Williams is one of the most beautiful seamstresses I've ever seen her work, and she doesn't consider herself necessarily a costume designer or a costume director. Her work is museum-quality work. Layla, I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Layla is a native Alaskan, she's not Yupik. She's Supiak.
Supiak, yes, that's
okay.
Right.
And
that's
so
right.
part of one of the wonderful things about dramaturgy is constantly learning new things. Always being in, I go to Dramaturgy U.
Not 101, 602.
Every play I work on, this play, just like Lena Mora Lewis with Arlisha Jones, I was able to delve in to, I learned about Eugene Debs. I learned all kinds of things that I may not have known. I can say that Alaska has opened its heart to me, and I have opened my heart to Alaska. Getting to know Layla Williams and work with an artist of her caliber,
yes,
has been one of the many gifts that I've already reaped since being here only 8 or 9 days. So Layla brings her own culture, her own sensitivities, her own artistry to this project. She's creating costumes for distant past animals that are part contemporary and part animal. And as she brings in new pieces every day, it's astonishing how well she is understanding the world of the play, bringing that to life. One of the things about being a new play director is it's such a collaborative job.
Exactly.
My job is not to step up and, if you're doing a Clifford Odets play or a Shakespeare play or a David Mamet play, those are wonderful opportunities and those are wonderful plays. But the play is there. It's been done before. The thrill for me,
yes,
is doing it for the first time.
It's a world premiere. Nobody's ever done it before.
Taking on those challenges. No one has ever made the costumes for these distant past animals. I get to work with Layla. I have that opportunity. I have the opportunity. Our set will be constructed of birch trees and plexiglass pieces. Our set will be an art installation. So Sheila has read the play and loved the play, and we agree collaboratively of what is the world of the play. And the designers then work to realize that world. My role is really helping everyone realize the world of the play. It's not doing it alone. I'm the person who works to have the playwright's vision be recognized.
Right, and to spark and inspire that vision to please the playwright.
To please the playwright. I'm in service of the play, and as I think every director is in service of the play. But with new play development, I'm in service of the playwright.
And part of it, too, are the actors who portray the roles. So that's a fun part of the process.
And for an actor, and I'm sure you can speak to this, too, Dick, creating a role for the first time. So our actors are creating a role for the very first time. The charge of doing that, the excitement, the fear of doing that.
All of the above.
It's an incredible thing. So the actors are saying those lines for the very first time. We had our deadline for our actors being off book or having their lines memorized yesterday.
But then Anne changes the lines on them,
and then our playwright changes the lines on them. So I have to say that those are the challenges and the thrills of doing new plays.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's exciting and thrilling, I think, is the right word. And maybe you talk about some of the actors who are involved in this play as well.
Yes, we have some incredible actors in our play. Brian Westcott is here from Los Angeles, and he's playing one of the main characters. You could almost call him the lead, but it's an ensemble piece.
It is.
And so he's playing Elder Sidney Charles Huntington, and Brian is a wonderful person for this role. He's from Fairbanks. He is a Native Alaskan himself. We also have a 16-year-old, we're very special young man in our play, 16-year-old Andrew Dimientov. And I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly as well. Andrew comes to us as a young Athabascan man, young man, who has never trod the boards before. He's a non-actor, although I'd have to say after not even 2 weeks of rehearsal with Andrew, he's not a non-actor anymore.
No.
He's
blooming.
He is incredible. For your listeners, I would encourage you to come and see a real coming-of-age story happening right in front of our eyes with Andrew.
But, of course, Andrew does know what commitment and passionate commitment is because he is a gold medal-winning Native Games winner.
Exactly. Yeah. And Andrew does know what it is like to lead tours and perform, but not necessarily to get up on stage, to learn lines. A funny story about Andrew was the opening night of The Seafarer on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandy, you invited all of our cast members for the Winter Bear to come. And everyone came and everyone was dressed and excited. And Andrew sat up in the front row, off to one of the sides, with his lovely young girlfriend and watched this play. And at intermission, was a little bit paler than he was when the play began. And Dick, you had places in your blocking where you walked out by him and you walked around the stage and he said, "Oh my gosh, that's going to be me up there, you know, without a net." So I think he rapidly understood that everyone knew, but when he saw that live and in person and the play is so fantastic that is on at Cyrano's right now. Cyrano's is definitely a place to go to see all kinds of theater.
Yeah, it's real virtual reality. They're right there.
Seafarer is a wonderful place, play, and Dick was stunning, I thought, if you can say that, in his role. That's also an ensemble
it
piece,
is.
Too. Everyone was wonderful. But our young 16-year-old Athabascan youth got a real eyeful of what it's like to be up there. And I feel complete confidence in Andrew and all the rest of the cast.
Absolutely.
Irene Bedard, for one, we can mention Irene's name for sure.
Well, she's an all-pro, yeah.
She's from Anchorage, but of course she was the voice of Pocahontas in the Disney film and starred in Sherman Alexie's well-known Smoke Signals.
Exactly.
And Bob Pond, who is the artistic director of ACT here, originally cast her when she was 14 years old in The King and I.
Oh, my gosh.
And he remembers her extremely fondly.
Well, it's been my pleasure to meet Irene and all of the cast members. And we were so fortunate because Irene had just moved back to the Anchorage area. And she's been, I think, many different cities in the country. But she's moved back here. And the timing couldn't have been
right. Timing
more perfect
is all.
For us.
It really is. And, you know, another neat thing about Winter Bear, it's going to have a preview showcase production at the AFN in Fairbanks at the Youth and Elders Conference, and also go to Galena, where Sidney Huntington still lives, where I believe he's 95 now.
Sidney Huntington is right around 95, and he does live there. He is our lead character. It's a fictionalized version of Sidney, but, you know, Sidney is a beloved and respected Koyokon elder. And his main message, which he has delivered tirelessly to youth over the past over 50 years, is get an education and use it to help Native people and preserve Native culture. And this is why I'm so honored to be working on this project and why it's a beautiful fit for having an opportunity to do a showcase preview at AFN, and to travel to Galena with our cast. We're taking this play to Sidney and to the people of Galena to show them how much we're honored by bringing them the play about Sidney. The play is really sort of a hero myth that celebrates how two Athabascan males, one elder and one young man, can triumph over their personal and social problems. And do that with the help of traditional Athabascan values. So it is a coming-of-age story, and it's, I think, one that is so important now. And I can't wait for audience members who can come and see this play and perhaps see some of their own life experiences reflected on the stage.
Yeah, it is very definitely powerful live theater and an embracing of Native cultural values, but it also addresses a very serious problem in our state and has great social significance, and that is the prevention of suicide by Native youth.
Absolutely. It is an interior Athabascan story, and I think that's why it's so appropriate, again, that we're taking it to Galena, that we have the opportunity at AFN, and then having the wonderful world premiere here in Anchorage, where many people can see it over its run. And we have high hopes for the play in the next 2, 3, 4 years to come.
That it might tour the villages.
Back to designers again.
Be a film, even.
Exactly. Yeah. We're talking, certainly, who doesn't want to make a movie? Of course, all the actors that we have. But we also designed the set, and the set construction has been conceived with the idea to travel. So we are definitely hoping that this has a longer life. It's a wonderful play to go to, well, I think, to the lower 48, but also in specific, to be able to tour to Alaskan villages. Just that idea of passion for helping youth that Sidney Huntington had. We're so grateful for the support of the Huntington family.
Yes.
And Anne Hanley not only has written a beautiful, important play, she has just spearheaded this effort.
She definitely, it's a work of love and passion for her. And so are you. You are a live work of passion and love for the theater. And this time has sped by at the speed of light, traveled too quickly. And I want to thank you so much for being our guest today, Jane.
It's been my pleasure to be here with you, Sandy, and with you, Dick, and to be in the presence of both such wonderful theater professionals. Just want to thank Alaska and Cyrano's and encourage you to come to see Winter Bear. Go to Cyrano's website to find out more about this very important play at a very important time.
Thank you, Jane. And you keep inspiring Alaskan playwrights. I know you're working with Shotzi Schaefer as well as Arisha now.
Absolutely.
Well, join us again next week for another edition of Alaska Radio Reader Rambler.